There is something about the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. Father, we just ask to receive whatever it is you have for us today, Father. May you just pour your Spirit out on us, Father. May the Holy Spirit move amongst us, Father. May we hear and feel what you want us to hear today, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. We're going to be in Matthew, 2nd chapter. You know, when we start a new year like we did, it's easy to make resolutions, isn't it? It's easy. It just seems like a good time to start something over. What if today? What if your resolution was, I want to be the very best today that I can be. I'm not going to worry about what happened in the past. I'm not going to be anxious about the future. I'm going to concentrate on today and try to be the best person I can be today. When I was studying for this lesson, I came across something about Eskimos. I bet you don't know anything about Eskimos. What's the one thing you know about Eskimos? They what? When they kiss, they rub noses. That's the only thing I knew about Eskimos. They what?
Live in igloos now.
Well, yeah, it's cold. Yeah, that's about where they live. But about the culture of Eskimos, let me tell you something about this culture. When you never ask an Eskimo how old he is.
Why?
That's a good question, John. Yeah. It's because every night, when an Eskimo goes to sleep, he literally believes he is dead to the world. And every morning when he wakes up, he's resurrected. It's a new life. If you ask an Eskimo how old he is, he's one day old. Listen, I know how hard it must be above that Arctic Circle to live day by day by day. It must be tough just to survive. But they've learned how to live life without worry and without anxiety, because they live one day at a time. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we learned how to live life one day at a time? If we didn't worry about what we've done in the past, if we weren't so anxious about what the future is, we just try to be the very best we can be today.
Amen.
What a great way to live a life, isn't it? Amen. In our scripture verse today, it's going to be a lesson on some people who also lived in a very harsh and cruel world. This is the conclusion of the Christmas story. After the shepherds and the wise men have gone away, an angel appears to Joseph and he tells him he needs to leave Bethlehem and head to Egypt. I asked my wife to read these scriptures in Matthew, the 2nd chapter, verse 13 through 23.
Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Herod kills the children. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet of Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and..."
And his mother,
"and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. "He shall be called a Nazarene."
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
See, here this humble couple, mm-hmm, and this precious baby have been visited by the shepherds and by the wise men and been given gifts. And now they are told they have to leave Bethlehem to head to Egypt. This is just an example of how bad things can happen to good people. It happens all the time in our lives. The Bible never ever glosses over the problems of living in an imperfect world. Well, listen, many of you know more than most that life can be harsh and demanding and sometimes just cruel. There are problems that we have to face every single day. Even after Mary and Joseph fled to Egypt, that wasn't where the story ended. After they were there, then they had to leave Egypt, but they couldn't go back to Bethlehem. Even though Herod had died, now his son had taken over, and they were afraid to go back there. So once again, an angel leads Joseph to go to Galilee and settle in a small little town called Nazareth. See, the problem that we face when problems come our way, when we become anxious, when we become fearful, it's what we allow the fear that comes into our life, what it does to our lives. It's amazing what fear can do to your mind. Listen, little bit of fear in the right proportion is a healthy thing. It's when we allow fear to overtake us and totally dominate our life. I mean, fear can come in so many different ways. You know, we can be fear of failure. We can be afraid of being ridiculed. We can be afraid of a place that we go or people that we meet. There are as many fears as there are demands on us. Anything that we are asked to do has a potential to cause us to fear. You know, everybody is afraid of something. My wife is afraid of birds.
Words.
Other people are afraid of all kinds of things. Everybody is afraid of something. It's when you allow that fear to make your life miserable, it's when you're giving in to that fear. There's an antidote for fear. There's a cure for fear. And it's found in the scriptures. This antidote for fear allowed the heroes of the Bible to go and do great things, fight great battles. This antidote, this cure for fear, is more than simply being courageous. I mean, courage, it's an admirable quality to have, but it's limited. The enemy of courage is discourage. Think about it. Courage, discourage. For courage to last, for courage to keep going, it has to see hope. There has to be something, a promise ahead of it. There has to be hope. If you're just going on courage alone, when you get to the point where you see no hope, courage becomes discouraged. The opposite of fear, the antidote for fear, the cure for fear, is not courage, it's faith. The kind of faith that says, although the odds are against me, although this makes no sense, although I don't see any hope, I know the source of hope. I know where hope comes from.
Amen.
That's faith. Not faith in ourselves. It's faith in God.
Amen.
See, that's what allows us to do the things that we talked about in Sunday school. To step out of our comfort zone. To do things that we wouldn't normally do. To do things that we're afraid to do. It's that kind of faith in God that always, always defeats fear. You know, if you look at this scripture that we just read, isn't it interesting to know that as Joseph and Mary were leaving Bethlehem to go to Egypt, they had no idea. They were fulfilling an Old Testament prophecy that it said in there that I'll call my son out of Egypt. They didn't know what was going on, but God did. When they left from Egypt to go not back to Bethlehem, but to go to Nazareth, they were fulfilling up, and they had no idea about this prophecy that was written hundreds of years ago that said that the Messiah would be called the Nazarene. From the very beginning of the Christmas story, remember when we read the Christmas story before Christmas? It says that Joseph and Mary, they left their home to go to Bethlehem because Caesar Augustus said all the world should be taxed and they had to go back to their original home. They had no idea. They were fulfilling a prophecy that was written hundreds of years ago prior to this, saying that the child would be born in Bethlehem. Think about this now. God used a Roman emperor to fulfill an insignificant scripture in his word. God used the jealous rage of Herod and his son to fulfill his purpose. Even in the darkest times, where Mary and Joseph were leaving one place to another, God was there.
Amen.
They were never alone. God was with them. When we go through the darkest times in our lives, we are not alone. God is with us. That's what faith is about. So why are we afraid? Why are we discouraged, dispirited, downcast? What do we have to fear? You know, God is at work in our life because of what God does. The scripture says that all things are working together towards the good to those who are called by his name, those who love him. In 2017, we can turn our fears, our anxiousness, our worry over to God. Because the same God that led Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, who led him to Egypt, who led him to Nazareth, is the same God you and I serve. Nothing is happening to you that God is not aware of. There's nothing happened to you that God hasn't planned for. And God's going to take the bad things that can happen to you and he can make something good out of it. That's what God does.
That's right.
If you've ever been to a circus, if you go, you might see an elephant in the circus. And he may have a chain around his leg. And that chain is chained to a little stake that's put in the ground. You look at that and that makes no sense at all.
Oh, no.
You know that elephant could pull that stake up and go anywhere he wanted to go. You know he could, but you see the man putting the stake in the ground and pulling it up and putting it. If he can pull it up, you know that elephant. Yeah. And you know why that elephant doesn't try to pull that stake up?
Why?
Because weeks before, this chain wasn't tied to a stake. It was tied to a huge tree. And for weeks and days, maybe even months, this elephant tugged on this chain and could never break free. He just surrendered. And now that elephant is chained to this little stake, and he doesn't believe he can get away because he associates that chain, being chained to that big tree, and he just gives up. He doesn't even try to get loose. He doesn't realize with just the minimum effort, he could go anywhere he wanted to. He could achieve whatever freedom he wanted. I tell you that because that's what we are with our fear and our anxiety and our worry. We have chained ourselves to this and we have surrendered, we have given up, and we don't even realize, with just a little bit of faith in God, just trusting God, there's nothing we can do. God says we can do all things through Him who strengthens us. He gives us this power, this ability to accomplish great things. But we've surrendered to our fears, our anxieties, our worries, our past, and we've given up. My prayer for us in 2017 is that we will be like those Eskimos. We will live one day at a time.
Amen.
That we will trust God today. Mm-hmm. We get up in the morning, God, I'm going to trust you today. I'm going to believe in you today. I don't care what's happened in the past. I'm not worried about what the future holds. I'm going to trust you today, and I'm going to do what you have for me today, and I'm going to be the person that you created me to be today. And I'm going to live this day like that. Mm-hmm. And then when I go to bed tonight, I'm going to thank you for everything you've given me. And then in the morning, I'm going to pray that same prayer again.
Amen.
Amen.
We don't have to be chained to our fears, our anxieties, and our worries. Mm-hmm. We don't have to do that. We don't have to surrender to that because we have a God who says he will never leave us or forsake us.
Amen.
I want today to be the first day of your new life. And I want it to be tomorrow to be the first day of your new life and the next day. And I want us to live day by day, trying to be the very best we can day by day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Father, we see how you worked in the lives of Mary and Joseph, how you were fulfilling your promises, your prophecy, even when they didn't even know what was going on. But Father, they were just being obedient to you. And when we be obedient to you, God, when we do what you ask us to do, when we trust you, we're going to do the right thing at the right time. because you are in control, Father. There's nothing happening to us that you don't know about. There's nothing that surprises you. I'm sure, Father, there are things that disappoint you in our lives when we show so little faith and so little, you know, where we just let our fears overtake us. I'm sure you maybe be disappointed in that, Father, but you never give up on us. You never quit on us. Father, I just pray that in this year, 2017, we will learn to live the kind of people that you want us to be, and we do it day by day by day, Father. Father, if there are someone here today who doesn't know what I'm talking about, and about trusting in you, that God, you're just a word that people say. You don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that they would come up here today. Let us introduce Jesus Christ to them and show them that just like we sang about in earlier today, that we're a child of the King. We have so much to be thankful for. And Father, we just need to trust you. Father, in 2017, I pray that we will learn to trust you more, depend on you more. Father, whatever it is that you have to say to us today, to each individual person. Father, if there's a person here today living in fear and anxiety, that they will surrender that to you today, Father. They will not continue to live in that misery of being afraid, being disappointed, and having no hope. Because, Father, we can't have hope in ourselves, because we will fail, but you will not. You will not fail, Father. Father, I just lift these words up to you today. Father, I just pray that they will minister to people here today. In Jesus' name.